Hi everyone. I am going to be speaking today about the 12 laws of karma, which I was not planning on speaking about, and I'm going to tell you a little story beforehand. I don't know why like the 12 laws of karma came up recently, but because I just did a like I spoke about the 7 laws of spirituality, I thought it would be I like stumbled across the 12 laws of karma and I thought it was interesting and I wanted to learn more about it. And so I started doing a little research and then I looked into my Google Drive, like where I plan out a lot of my episodes. And I don't usually plan out an episode topic unless I'm about to do it. But for some reason, I had the 12 laws of karma. Like I had an entire document, basically like in-depth thoughts and everything about what the laws of karma are and how it connects to me. So at that point I was like, okay, fine, like I have to do this episode, but I just like really was not in the mood. And today I was gonna record another episode, just like some thoughts I've been having, and I just think that this would be like, this is one, gonna be better for me, and two, today while I was in a student union, I was doing work, I was writing this essay, and this middle-aged woman sits across from me. And which I thought was like a little weird, like, why are you here? But I didn't really like give it much attention. And so I continue my work, and like she was sitting there for a good 15, 20 minutes before she finally said something to me after I sat up a bit. And like she was kind of just sitting there and she wasn't like doing anything. Like I don't actually know because I wasn't like watching her and I wasn't paying attention. But I just thought it was interesting. Like she was just sitting there, like she was just not doing anything. But like she chose to sit right near me. And then the second I sat up, because like I was readjusting from doing work, she slides over this book called Have You Heard of the Four Spiritual Laws? And I was kind of like, this is my sign to do it, I guess. Which is super interesting, this book that she gave me. I was like, wow, this is so cool. And then we got into a conversation and then she asked me if I have ever been to church. And then I realized, oh, this is a religious thing. I'm Jewish. So then we got into a conversation about the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so now I am a proud owner of the New Testament. And she gave me a little copy. And I have literally no idea what I'm going to do with this. I'm just like so in disbelief. I don't even know what happened. Like I feel like it was a fever dream. And I'm so confused. But I thought it was interesting. Have you, the Four Spiritual Laws book. I'm going to read the first two because the last two are like really Jesus-y. And the other two like you could kind of connect and make more secular. But I just thought it was like, this is my sign to do this episode and not push it off anymore. And I obviously need to hear it. So this is why I'm doing this now. Basically, the first law says, there's like a little thing on top that says, just as there are physical laws that govern the physical universe, so are there spiritual laws that govern your relationship with God. Okay. That's really, like, you could take this in any way. You can talk about your relationship with the universe. You could talk about your relationship with whatever God. I don't know. I just think this is really interesting that she gave this to me. So law number one states that God loves you and offers a wonderful plan for your life. So if you were to look at this in a more secular way, there's a plan for your life and you're loved, which is just a nice little idea. And law number two, man is sinful and separated from God. Therefore, he cannot know and experience God's love and plan for his life. This is obviously something I don't believe in, but the second part I think is interesting to like kind of twist and say that we're not, as humans, we're not supposed to know and experience and like understand the plan that we are, the plan for our lives. And we kind of just have to let things be and watch things unfold because it's out of our realm and control. So that's just interesting in general. Now we'll get into the karma stuff because that was just like a little side story. So karma, I was going to do an episode on energy too, but it really like closely ties into what karma is. I've been thinking about karma a lot, actually, like how what you give and you get out. And there's a lot to unpack, but karma in general describes the concept of getting back whatever you put forth. So that could be good or bad, and it's whatever you like put into the universe, basically, and like whatever actions you do and whatever you feel like, whatever you put forward, you're gonna get back. And karma actually translates to the word action, which I didn't know and I thought was very interesting. And although the 12 laws of karma are sourced from Hinduism and Buddhism, no matter what belief system you follow or don't follow, like the concept of karma can play a role in your life in whatever role you allow it to. I think this is interesting to think about just in general with spirituality, that like it's there and you have the power to kind of decide whether or not it's gonna have meaning and it's gonna actually be something or not. So if I don't believe in it, I don't have to believe in it, and then I won't see it and it won't be prominent in my life. But like the second that you start believing in it and allowing it to like take part in your life and like being aware of it, that's when it starts to be, I don't know. That's just something that in general, like with anything, like when you allow something to play a role in your life, it will. So karma, it's interesting to think about how karma can show up differently for different people, and because it's a very personal experience, because what you're putting forth is very different than what someone else is putting forth. It doesn't matter if it's the same action. I think also intentions really matter, and like what you believe and what you feel. And this is something that ties into energy, about how I'm gonna pull up my Google Doc on energy, because it really closely ties to it. But your energy, this is also like a lot in Chinese culture. Well, this is more in like Hinduism, but everything is made of energy. And I learned this in astronomy, that dark energy is our solution to what is accelerating the expansion of the universe. And like, we don't understand why is the universe accelerating? And astronomers have come up with dark energy as an answer. And while we don't have it like the correct answer, this is what we can postulate. And because there's and it's the same way that energy comes from within and it exudes outwards. So that's what I thought was interesting, is matter, dark matter, is what holds the universe together, and that's what like the pressure and the inward pressure, versus dark energy is the outward pressure, and they act against each other. But energy is like something outward. And this is just in general, like meeting so many people can be overwhelming, but like when you meet people and you just think someone by like their energy, I think it's a lot easier to like kind of get a vibe for someone, because your energy is comprised of your thoughts and your feelings and emotions and your mindset and perception of the world. It's like an outward reflection of your soul, basically. So there's so much that goes into it, and no one's energy is the same for that reason, that everyone has different thoughts, everyone has different feelings, everyone has different emotions. And I think it's interesting, because like when you think that you can hide your feelings and you can hide what's going on inside, like there's something about an energy that like you can't control it. Like you can work on it. I think you could definitely work on it, because you can work on your mindset and you can work on like channeling your whatever. Like you can work on things, but at the end of the day, like you can't repress it, if that makes sense. So energies in some cultures are known as life forces. So for example, in Chinese culture, the energy flowing through a person is Kai. And Kai is, I might have pronounced that wrong, but Kai is considered to be the primary element of a living organism. And Chinese medicine and martial arts have exercises that strengthen the Kai, which I said, like you can work on it. And it's thought to be crucial for both physical and mental health. And there's also, I found a paper that's researching Kai and proposing that an energy system should be considered with the rest of the human body, just like any other system in your body, which is so true. Like everyone says that like your mental health is so important. That is what your mental health is like. This is what it is. It's just looking at it from a different perspective. I don't know. And then it gets into the whole thing of like auras and whatever. So that I was just wanted to speak about for a second, like the way that energy and period, and like just get that down and out there. Because as I said before, I'm going to tie it all back to how karma can show up differently for different people, because everyone has different energy levels and like the way that they kind of express that. So there are different types of karma according to Hinduism. So, oh my God, I'm not gonna say these right. I'm just gonna say this in like what they are and not their names. But there's the karma that you've accumulated in this lifetime. There's the sum of all your past karmas from previous lifetimes, which is really interesting, because I don't know what I feel about like past lives, and I'm curious to like learn more about it. But the third is current decision you've made and actions you've taken. So there's a lot to unpack. Like there's a lot of karma. And the when you hear karma, you probably hear that's good karma, or like bad karma, or like that's bad karma, whatever. That's how I've heard of it. And so the 12 laws of karma, essentially, they originated from Hindu and Buddhist belief systems, which I mentioned before, and they're a tool for interpreting how energy works in our universe. So there's which I spoke about energy, and so there's different ways to look at it. And I think that, like as I said, it's about the laws of spirituality. It's very, very closely tied, and it's basically like a lot of them overlap and are the same. It's just a different way of just there's just more and more like distinct, if that makes sense. But I'm going to start and go into the 12 laws. The first law is called the Great Law, and that this is known as the law of cause and effect. So like this is what comes to mind for many people when they consider what karma means, and it states that like whatever thoughts or energy we put out, we get back, whether it's good or bad. So that's just in general, like when you hear karma, when you hear like, oh, like karma's gonna get them. This is what that means, basically, like cause and effect. The second law is the law of creation. You cannot wait for things to magically fall into your lap. You have to go out and make things happen. And I referenced this in like a prior episode, and I think it's so true that like you can't just wait around for things to happen. Like you have to like take the moment and like make it yours. And the more that you wait around for something, like the less likely it's gonna happen. I think that like this is what I was gonna speak about in the other episode I wanted to record. So I'm just gonna tie it all in together. But the other episode that I wanted to do is about how nothing is promised. And the Uber drive, I was coming back from a dentist appointment that I was far away, so I had to take an Uber, and me and the Uber driver getting into a conversation about a bunch of different things. But one thing that he told me that I thought was really, really interesting is that he kisses his wife every night, never goes to sleep angry, and always tells his daughter he loves her, which I think like a lot of I've heard that obviously a lot because people have said it, but he told me that he like recently got into a horrible car accident, and like it just made him realize how like really nothing is promised, and like if you want something, like you have to go do it because like at the end of the day, like your time is limited and what you and it's precious. And my dad always says this, that like time is the most finite so like resource that you have, and that's why we have to take advantage, because we kind of like waste like the amount of times I feel like I've wasted time or like wanted to waste time or like push things off or said like I plan my life out in terms of like what I think my life will look like and how long I have, but that's not true. Like who said that I have that long, and who said that this, you know, like if you want something, make it yours. And this is something that I've also been thinking about with like different opportunities and like going and like doing things that I want to do. It's like there's literally no reason to wait, and like there's no reason. Like I'm pushing off like doing something that I want to do because what? Like I think I'm not qualified now. Like who says that I'm going to be more qualified in 2 years from now, 3 years from now if I don't do it? Like eventually I'm going to have to do it, and like the sooner I start and the sooner like I just like it just opens your eyes to like what there is in the world, which is so nice. And this is also what I was thinking, like I don't know. I obviously like this is still like up in the air and I still have to figure it out, but all my life, like when I like got to college and I thought like I want to do a study abroad in Italy or wherever I go with like the school, if I want to do study abroad, I've always told myself that I'm gonna do it junior year, because that way I have something to look forward to. And fine, like I told myself I was gonna do it in junior year, and I was kind of like thinking, one, there's a study abroad program that is possibly this summer, and I was kind of thinking like, why wait? Like, what am I waiting for? Like, there's so many things that like I just am saving, but why am I saving it? Like, there's no reason to save it, because right now, if I do what I want to do now, like one, things always change, and then you end up like it's not. Then you have certain expectations, and like that gets complicated. But like, there's just no reason to wait. If I want to do something, why not do it now? Like, that just shows how much I really want something. And then also like, with that experience that you have from doing what you wanted to do now, like you just more opportunities arise. And that's what I think is really nice, is that like you don't like this is something I think about with my podcast. Like creating a podcast was something that like I always told myself, and that's not true, I didn't always tell myself I wanted to do it, but like it's something that was like it took some kind of like it took determination and like effort to actually pursue and like be consistent with it. And like the only thing holding me back from doing it was myself and saying like, I'll do it then, like I'll do it when it makes sense, but it's never gonna make sense. This is like a crazy tangent, but I really think that there's so much truth to like you can't wait for things to happen and fall into your lap. Like you have to go out and get it. And it's something I really, really believe in. Like if you want something, then do it, like make it yours. There's literally no reason to wait. I can talk about that all day long, like how you should like how important it is to like do what you want, and like your time is finite on this earth, and there's no reason to save it. Oh my God, I needed a second to breathe. That was a lot. I kind of just like spewed my mind. But I'm going to get into the third law now, which is the law of humility. And it states that in order to change something in your life, you have to first accept what currently exists. And that's, all of these are not crazy concepts. Like, it's just like putting a law, putting it into the name of a law, but like, it's so true. In order to change something, you have to like accept your current situation, because if you don't accept your current situation, how are you supposed to change things? And in order for you to create a new path of life, you have to have facets of it that are like completely, you have to understand that like some of it's out of your control. You have to understand like your place in your situation and like understand what exists. And I, like, a lot of this just like feels like common sense in a way. Fine. Law number four, the law of growth. As we grow, change, and evolve internally, our external reality will change and grow as a result. So true. I think it's interesting because I wrote notes on it to talk about, and I wrote this, I don't even know when I wrote, I think I did this over a year ago, I'm not actually sure, but what I wrote is, I see this a lot within relationships and outgrowing people, which is very true. But I wonder, like, now that I think back, like, I wonder when I wrote in, I wonder what situation I was talking about, because I didn't give much prior more detail. But I think this is very important to realize that when you work on yourself, and like, you, it's just like a general thing that you start to see the world differently, and what your experience of and how you experience the world changes too. When you grow, then your environment around you grows too, because you're able to see in a different light. And also, so true. Fine. Law number five, the law of responsibility. Take responsibility for the part you play in every situation you have, both the good and the bad. There's nothing more to say on that. I feel like that's pretty self-explanatory. It's important to like recognize your part in the world and what you have control over, and hold yourself accountable for good and for bad. Law number six, the law of connection. Everything and everyone is connected in some way. And this goes for you and other people. This goes for yourself, like your past self, your present self, and your future self. You're all connected. And everything you've experienced has led to the next thing and the next and the next. And I think that's more about like everything's connected, but like every person really is connected. And any Jew ever knows that Jewish geography is so real, and the world is really so much smaller than you would think. And I feel like there are so many stories that I could tell about how small the world really is and how really everyone is so connected. I think a lot of the times we just don't think we are, because we have certain insecurities about the fact that like you like kind of like project insecurities onto other people, in the sense that like, let's say I'm meeting someone new and I think a certain way of them, but I come off, let's say like I think this person is really cool and I want to be friends with them and I think they're really cool, and I'm coming off in a, like, I'm more closed off because I'm thinking like, oh, they're too cool for me, like they don't want to be my friend, whatever it is, and I'm coming off as being bitchy or whatever it is, because, and closed off, and like the same, maybe that person is thinking the same of me. Like, I thought it was so interesting, this literally the one friend that I made, one of the one friends I made, she I think is so cool, and I love hanging out with her, I really think she's so cool. And yesterday I met her roommate, and her roommate said to me like, oh, like we sometimes like, we like, we talk about you, like, we think you're so cool. I'm like, stop it. Like, you think I'm cool? I think you're cool. Like, it was just like, you, I think it's nice to like, you, everyone has to like take their ego down a notch and like make yourself a tiny bit vulnerable in order to like connect with other people, because then you can see how connected the world really is. And like, when you're closed off, you don't have that same opportunity to see how connected everything is. And this law relates to the idea that like the way that we treat others is the way that we view ourselves, because everything is connected. Like, everything is just a projection of something else, you know, and it all comes from inward, which is why karma in general and like your energy is so important. And this is like, you think about any of these things that I'm saying and just put it in a different phrase, or like put it in different words and like make it accessible to people. Like, it's just like, this is common. This is something that I feel like so many people believe in, just they believe in it in different ways. All of these laws and karma and energy in general. Law number seven, the law of force. You cannot put your energy towards two things simultaneously. When you focus on one thing at a time, you accomplish much more and with better results. This is, I don't know how, like, I definitely think it's true. Like, you can't like split your energy completely, because then you're not going to complete tasks so well. You're gonna half-ass both of them. But I definitely think there's truth in also compromising, and I forgot the word that I wanted to use, but there's truth in both. I don't know. This is not a law that I'm definitely gonna internalize as much as the others. Law number seven, the law of force. The next law is eighth law, is the law of giving and hospitality. So this law is about ensuring that you're not simply saying and thinking good thoughts, but that you also walk the walk and you follow those beliefs with action. So you don't want to be someone who, like, you can feel all these things inside and you can think all these things inside, but until you act on it, you're not doing good to anyone, basically. And the example given that, like, I found on this website or wherever I found this, I literally don't even know anymore, is that if you believe in donating to charity, the law of giving and hospitality states that when the opportunity to donate presents itself, you should follow through and actually donate rather than simply advocating for it to happen. And I feel like once you actually are, when you're advocating for something and you want it and you like say that you want it to happen, you're not really giving much of yourself to it, and you're not, there's no risk to it. You're just saying that you believe in something. But the second that you have an opportunity to actually give something, whether it be monetary, whether it be time, whatever it is, the second that you actually give a piece of yourself to it, that's how, when you really like know you believe in it. And like, I think it's good to be conscious of like how much would you give for something if given the opportunity, because that's how I feel like you can figure out and like not validate, but like you can kind of, okay, I was looking for the word evaluate. You can evaluate how important it is to you. The ninth law is the law of here and now. So this law is about being present. And most of us replay the past and our mistakes over and over and over again until the point that it literally paralyzes us and we're not capable of moving forward. And so we need to be more in tuned about like what we're currently doing in the state that we're currently in, and uses our senses and our feelings so that we won't be disconnected from ourselves and everything around us. This, I think, is so important, and like I'm happy that I'm speaking about this now because I feel like it's so easy to get caught up in like, one, your past, but two, your future. Like, I think it's, for me right now, I'm equally caught up in both and not as much in the present, because I'm just trying to like, I'm thinking about all the past situations I've had and everything that's led up to this and my gap year and whatever it is. I can't stop thinking about all of the situations that have happened. And now I am thinking like, okay, I'm in college, I'm working for something, like I'm working towards something, I'm working towards certain goals. And so I'm like, it's good to be have goals and like try and achieve those goals, but I feel like I'm fixating on those goals and like kind of like thinking of college as like a skip through phase, if that makes sense. Like, oh, I know that I want to make Aliyah when I graduate college, and I know that this, and I want to work at this and whatever it is. So I'm kind of just using this as a transition period. Like, there is no such, now that I think of it, there's no such thing as a transition period if you just, I don't even know what I'm saying. Like, there's no such thing as a transition period, because every period is like, isn't that sad that like people think of something as like, this is just a transition period, like a transition, like when you say that something's a transition period, the only thing I can think of is like, you're wasting your time. Like, and no period is just a transition period. It's just a different period. It can be in between two big stages, but that doesn't make it a transition period. Like, I think that you think it's a transition period when you think of your life in terms of blocks and like giant concepts and like goals and whatever it is. And it's so much easier to see like, oh, like the couple weeks I'm at home in the summer are like the transition period between one semester of college and another. But really, like, that's its own time. And I think that will help people, like, and myself, live in the present more, is recognizing that like there's no such thing as a transition period. I just like really, I've never really thought about that, but now I have. Law number 10, the law of change. If you find a pattern continue to repeat itself, it means that there's time to learn from the experience and do something differently in order to evolve into a better version of yourself and stop the vicious cycle. So I think this is very important when you find a pattern and there's a reason that it's continuing to repeat itself. I feel like people see this a lot in relationships where you get into a relationship with the same type of person who is not good for you and like same qualities. And until you work on yourself and recognize and like get to the root of the issue, you're gonna end up with the same type of person for the rest of your life until you break the cycle. And you have to do something differently in order to break this cycle. And that's just like fact of life. Like, I don't really have much more to say on that. It's true. Like, if you want to change something, you have to do something differently. if not everything, eventually, honestly, eventually everything's going to change. So you can try and let things be. Everything's going to change anyway. There's no stopping it. No one's unaffected by things. Like, everything changes. So it's up to you to make that active step in doing something differently and, like, taking charge, or just let it happen naturally and just, like, keep continuing the vicious cycle, I guess. I don't know. The 11th law is the law of patience and reward. And this is basically, like, hard work pays off. And hard can be replaced with consistent in the common phrase. So consistent work pays off, because I feel like people say hard work pays off. Honestly, a lot of times, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be hard as long as it's consistent. That's the way that you grow. And that's something you see a lot is, like, let's say you are training for something, and or let's say you want to start going to the gym. And this is something I have literally never been good at, was remaining consistent, because I was such an all or nothing person. So I will, let's say I'll go to the gym and, like, go for literally 2 hours twice a day. That has never happened now that I think of it. But, like, let's say in this theoretical example, I go to the gym 2 hours every twice a day. And then that's the standard I'm setting for myself, is if I want to go to the gym, that's how long I have to go for, and that's how hard I have to go for. And so I will only go to the gym when I think I'm capable of that. But in reality, the way that you see progress is through going to the gym, period, going every day, even if it's 10 minutes, even if it's 15 minutes, even if it's not a crazy workout. The aspect of remaining consistent is more important than how hard you're working. That's what I think. And I think this is nice to think about, is, like, patience and patience in general. Now that I'm in school again, it's really easy to, I don't want to say it's easy to cheat, but I see so many people cheating, and everyone is kind of just, like, doing what they can to do well, versus I am, like, proud that I can say that I don't do any of those things, because I want to actually put in the work, and, like, I want to actually study, and I want to do the assignments, and I want to, even if it's, like, annoying and tedious, like, I want to feel accomplished, and I want to do it, and I know that my hard work is going to pay off, and, like, I know that all the good energy, like, everything that I'm putting into stuff is going to come back to me. And even if it doesn't, like, at least I can feel like I earned where I am, and I've done my part, and, like, I deserve it. And I don't think I would if I cheated or did anything like that. So that's just something to think about. And the last law, the 12th law, is the law of significance and inspiration. And this is a nice way to end it off, is the idea that we all have value to give, and our unique gifts are meant to be shared with the world and hopefully make a positive impact. This is something that everyone should think about, including myself. It's just, like, everyone has value. Everyone has intrinsic value. And you can, what did I just watch that I was thinking about this? Oh, the Harry Potter movie, right? The fifth one, I think. I don't know any characters' names. This is literally the second Harry Potter movie I've ever watched. I know nothing, but I thought it was interesting that, like, Harry was saying to his godfather, like, I'm a horrible person, like, because me and Voldemort are connected, like, I'm starting to, like, feel all these bad things and, like, all this stuff. And his godfather said, like, all of us have both good and bad in us, but what matters is what you choose to do with it and the path you choose to take, which is so true. Everyone has something in them, and it's up to you to make the choice about where you want to take it and what you want to do with it. So I'm going to leave it off on that, and I hope everyone finds a way to connect these laws and these ideas into your own lives. And I really hope you enjoy this episode. I am literally exhausted from speaking, because I was like, I feel like I was just, like, rambling, but I'm really happy I did this, and I'm happy I ran into that lady who gave me the New Testament, because I would have never done this if it weren't for her. So there's meaning to everything.